Hey everybody, it's Sam with Pro Wrestling Overtime. Yeah, you haven't heard from me since last week. It's because I've been so daggone busy. For those of you who don't know, I got started on a website putting everything under one umbrella. If you're on Facebook or you're on Instagram or you're on Twitter or if you're on anything really, you've probably seen me talk about it some, I hope, I don't know. The new website is theovertimenetwork.com, and it holds now all of the podcasts under the Overtime Network, including this one. You can just go there if you want to listen to it. If you want to keep your podcatcher, that's fine. But I'm just saying, if you want to see all the episodes, they're over there. In the process of transferring, working out with the companies that I have wrote for, and when I wrote for Medium, gathering all of my articles up and getting them on there. I'm starting with 2020, so I'm a little behind. If you click on forums, just got it finished. And I'm talking 4 hours, just got it finished. Of the different sites that you can discuss. If you scroll down to Pro Wrestling Overtime, you'll see a list of, you know, WWE Raw, AEW Dark. You'll see GNC on there, or GCW, excuse me. You'll see, I'm trying to think, what's another one? NWA. I haven't put anything in the NWA as far as topics, but you know my first topic going in there is going to be NWA Empire on Saturday night, August 28th. I'm going to have a list of matches in there. I'm going to try to get some polls going on who you think is actually going to win the match and why. I'll have NWA 73 up also so that you can go to those matches and vote on who you think is going to win and why. Trying to think anything else that's going to be on there. Oh, I am trying to find a good plug-in for calendars. You will already see a place up there for calendars, but when you go there, it's blank. I haven't found a good plugin that I really like, but I plan on putting up a wrestling calendar so that you guys know when events are happening, because that's what I seem to hear a lot of you on Reddit, a lot of you on Twitter griping about, that you don't hear enough about the future pay-per-view events, which to me means I'm doing a bad job and I need to get with it. So hopefully tonight has gotten me in gear, because I got to thinking after I heard the news that Pat McAfee has tested positive for COVID-19, that I'm going to miss him on Friday night. And I was thinking about that. I was taking a break. I was getting something to drink and getting ready to probably write something else. But as I was getting a drink, I was sitting there thinking, why are you going to miss him? You've not really missed any of them before. And I thought, it's Pat McAfee's energy. That's why I listened to his podcast. I watched his show before he ever got on WWE. It's why I listened to him when he was in the NFL, when he was spouting off about anything and everything. And I love it that last year maybe a year and a half ago now. But anyway, I loved it that he came on NXT and did a program with Adam Cole. He actually looked good doing it. He is a natural born athlete, so you knew he was going to be able to pull off some things. Now, did I think that he was going to be able to jump from the mat to the top rope and do a backflip? No. But, I was happy to see him do it. I was happy to see him get even more fans. Because you don't understand, not only is he that energetic on WWE, he's that way on his shows, his podcasts, anything you see him. If you go back and watch him in the NFL, he was like that then. And I think that's what I'm going to miss. Because Michael Cole sees himself as a professional. I don't hate him like some of you guys do. He's been around too long for me to hate. He has put up with a lot. Do I like that he's over the broadcasters? No, not really. I don't know all the behind the scenes things, but I don't know that he truly works with them enough in order to get them going and get them to be comfortable with themselves. I enjoyed Corey Graves and Michael Cole. I understand why they put Pat McAfee there, because it was the end of his week and he could fly where he needed to fly and then have his weekend. But I feel like Corey Graves is more prepared. I feel like he actually talks to him and tries to find out what their character's about, where they see it's going, what is their vision, and actually tell that story. Michael Cole feels like he already knows them, and that he doesn't always, you know, have to talk to them all the time. Pat McAfee, I know sometimes, doesn't get there in time enough to really talk to them. And I think that's what I and most others enjoy about him for now. That's the key word, for now. Is he's almost like one of us, a fan. They're sitting ringside, saying whatever comes to mind. Because he's put it out there. Other people have hinted at it, that in his contract, he gets to be himself. Period. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. They're not yelling things in his ear. They're allowing him to do what he wants. I think that it's hilarious that this is the same Pat years ago Michael Cole yelled at. He was dressed for WrestleMania in a tuxedo, but was wearing tuxedo shorts. And Michael Cole was like, no. this past Friday, didn't we see him in ripped jeans and a sleeveless t-shirt with a white jacket on? Or did I misremember that? I hope he does not get up and dance on the table every single time that Shinsuke comes out. I don't want to see it. I don't want to encourage, what's his name, Rick Boogs, to even be a part of this. But I guess he's going the Reggie route. That if you show up enough times, people will eventually get used to you, and then they'll stick you in the ring. But I'm already done with Rick Boogs. I can't believe he got a trading card on WWE Tops game that you guys can get on Android and Apple. I think that's ridiculous. But I also hate that Pat is having to deal with COVID. Now, last I heard, he had been vaccinated because he travels so much. You can find him usually on Saturdays up in Morgantown at WVU a lot of times. And so I know that he was pretty vocal about getting vaccinated, so hopefully, since he got COVID, that, you know, it won't be too bad on him. I would love if they would either bring Vic Joseph or Beth Phoenix up from NXT, especially Beth Phoenix, since Edge is going to be on there, or they would have Corey Graves pull double duty. Now, if Corey Graves hears this podcast, or any of you tell him, he will probably come and beat my ass, because he probably doesn't want to pull double duty. I don't know. Haven't talked to anybody probably since the beginning of the week about Bailey and her update on her knee. I know she is in a stiffer knee brace. She was in Vegas for SummerSlam. Seemed to everyone that saw her to be getting around okay. But I've already seen it. People are wanting Bailey to be Michael Cole's partner on Friday night. The only thing that I see, can she travel that distance? Because I know it's more apt for her to be able to get a blood clot with that brace on and with how she has to hold her leg. 2, will WWE doctors/trainers clear her to be at ringside? I don't know that they will. Because accidents do happen. And, you know, if she would slip on a cable, she would slip coming out of the roll chairs. She could set herself back. If she doesn't move quick enough when they're going to do a spot on the commentator's desk, like they seem to want to do every single show, if she's a little slow getting up and getting out of the way, I don't want to see her get set back. However, I would absolutely love for her to be able to take Pat's place. My solution? Put the commentators up on the stage and call it from there. you guys used to call it from there. I think it was Monday Night Raw. You guys used to call all the time up there. Well, let's put them up there and tell everybody, look, we'll put you guys a little desk down there with some monitors that y'all can throw around. But you stay away from up here, and you definitely stay away from Bailey. And we tape all the cords down, and we have bodyguards around her at all times to catch her if she falls. Because God knows she's on week 7. So that means we've got 7 more months. 6 more months. And I know she is dying from it way worse than I am. But I do miss her in the ring. And I do miss her humor. The other thing that I think people want me to talk about, since I'm talking about Pat. No. From everything I can find out, no, Sasha Banks does not have COVID-19. So quit saying it. Quit writing it on Reddit. Quit writing it on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Quit bothering McCaws, her husband, and saying, why aren't you with your wife? How is your wife? And all of this. Like I told you in the episode that talks about Sasha Banks from last week, I believe this is a vaccination thing. I believe that she had not gotten vaccinated. And even if she got vaccinated the day it was announced that she needed to be in order to perform, it is my understanding it takes 10 to 14 days for that to get into your system. I am not telling you that Sasha Banks is or is not vaccinated. As I told you on the episode about that, I really don't care. That's her private decision. If she believes that she should not get vaccinated, then that's fine with me. She will have to suffer the consequences of missing out on one of the biggest shows of the year, which is SummerSlam. And all the future SmackDowns and the next pay-per-view, which is Extreme Rules. And they had to bring Becky back earlier than what they had anticipated. Which I'm sure Becky was delighted at, since she's been cleared for months and has been wanting to come back. She loves the fans and she loves wrestling. But like I said, if Sasha did get vaccinated last week, say Saturday when she was turned away at Charlotte, then, you know, we still may have until middle of next week. Hopefully, she'll be back on SmackDown this Friday night. And she will have some rationale about why she missed SummerSlam. And I hope that it has something to do with Becky doing something to her. I think that would be hilarious. Why haven't you got a breakdown of what I've thought of SummerSlam? Well, number one, you haven't gotten a breakdown of what I thought of AEW's Rampage from Friday, and Saturday's SummerSlam, and Sunday's NXT, because those three shows were overwhelming, and you're going to be getting them here either today, tomorrow, sometime soon. Why were they overwhelming? Because I felt like yes, they gave us what we wanted, but did we really want what we wanted? And I know a lot of you are interested in my take on the Bianca-Becky match. No, you're really not. I know you're not. And so I've been holding off on that. I have been dying, though, to talk about the Walter Dragunov match. I love those two when they go together. I know they've only had two matches on NXT, but they have both been bangers. And so, can't wait to talk to you guys about that. But while I was thinking about it this morning, like I said, I was working on the website. I thought, I absolutely need to get on the podcast and do an episode about Pat McAfee and why I think so many people love him. He's just a fan saying what we would all say. But I did say for now, because if he's doing that in a year, I'm going to question it. Because he will have been backstage so many times. He will have became friends with wrestlers. He will have started working out with wrestlers. Or taking them places. Or getting to know them. Going to dinner afterwards. And he's not going to be the same. He's not going to be a fly by the seat of his pants. He's already figuring out storylines now. What's he going to be like in a year? Like us? Like me? Is he going to truly be able to criticize things? Is he going to want to? And that's why I'm saying he's great for now, but what happens when his shit gets old? And we know he's wanting to criticize it, and he won't. Will we still all stand behind him then? Well, that's what I'm leaving you with anyway. I'll be talking to you guys soon, and hopefully, I'll see you one day down the road.